Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. So here we are once again. I'm glad you're with me. Our subject has been called to be a soldier. In fact, this is part three. If you missed part one and two, please pick them up. Go to our website, which is nothingbutthetruth.org, or you can find it on YouTube as well. Call to be a soldier. And it's based on this wonderful scripture that is given to us in the Bible. And here is what it says. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Whoa. That's a different kind of soldiership. In fact, let's talk about the war that's going on and take a look, if you please. It's going on since ancient times. Man against man, woman against woman. There's a dog-eat-dog world. And the killing, the destruction, nation rising against nation, ethnos against ethnos, and all kinds of destruction. And men are set on the kill, the damage, the destruction of one another. And oh, how great is this devastation. And it not only affects a wartime, but this is an amazing time when we must understand what's really going on. So it's tough because it hurts. Hell is war, no matter how you look at it. Hatred, venomous activity. Imagine taking human life. So the war is on, but the question now is, what is our place in the war? As a warrior for Jesus, it's different. Because our war is an invisible war. Our war is not killing, hurt, and damaging people. Our war is against the invisible forces that cause people to be killers, to be damagers, to be destructive. It's an invisible war. For behind the mind are forces that get that person in a killing mood. Yeah. And so these forces affect heart as well as brain. And that's where our warfare is focused. It's a war that's invisible. It's against the forces that are causing the visible war. You can probably well imagine already that if we could get rid, if we could win the invisible war, there would be no visible wars. People would stop killing each other, stop hating each other, stop condemning each other, stop everything but loving one another. That's why this war is really important. Jesus is looking for people, and he calls them to be soldiers in this invisible war. So what we've been talking about so far is, well, what does it mean to be a Christian soldier? And so I'm going to give you a brief review, and please pray it'll be brief. Number one, a Christian soldier is one who participates in the warfare, the invisible warfare, right? It's someone who separates themselves from many civilian good things, because in time of warfare, the economy has to change. So we drop things that would normally be completely okay to do because there's a war going on. And so we separate ourselves from a lot of civilian legitimate activities because we're in war. It's one who lives by commandment. Can you imagine? A soldier who does not obey lawful orders of his superiors. My goodness, he's going to face court-martial, and that's not very nice. In fact, well, let me not go into detail about that. But let me tell you this, that a Christian soldier is one who follows commands. That's why That's why we learn that before we decide, speak, or act in any given situation, we first check to see if God has a command that applies. And if he does, we obey that command immediately, joyfully, and without compromise. In fact, the last time we got together, we spent time discussing 10 reasons why obeying the commands of the Lord are joyful. They're not grievous to us. They don't irritate us. The commands that God gives us are happy guidelines to do that on which our hearts are already set. Don't you see that? See? So a Christian soldier is one that's involved in the war. It's one who separates himself from a lot of civilian activities. It's one who lives by commandment, and indeed, it is one with spiritual weapon familiarity. We spent good time on that one. Hope you didn't miss it. If you did, go back and check it out. It's one who pleases his commanding officer. And we learned how to do that, didn't we? And then it's one who masters the Christian soldiership principles. And the last time we were together, that was our subject today. Our subject about what it means to be a soldier, point number 7, is simply this. It is one who has spiritual military smarts. 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 It's figuring out ahead of time how to conduct the war. Military smarts. Now, here's where it comes from in Scripture. Wisdom is better than strength. There's a lot of illustrations of this, by the way, in the Bible. You know, you can have strength and you can keep a dull axe going, trying to chop a tree, but if you were smart, you would sharpen the axe. The tree would come down a lot faster because wisdom is smarter than strength. A soldier has to have military smarts. Look at the scripture. Wisdom is better than the weapons of war. Well, we're going to need the weapons, but if you don't know how to use them, look at this. Wisdom is better than the weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. So, weapons of warfare. That's important. Not just the weapons, but the military smarts. It requires, let's look at this, military strategy, tactics. Tactics are essential to the conduct of the warfare. Now, in modern warfare, there's all kinds of tactics. There's surprise attacks. You never know. You can catch the enemy off guard, right? You can catch him. Or there's envelopment. That's where you surround the place and take over the jurisdiction. Or there's shock action. You can do something that literally displaces people's rational thinking. Or there's concentration, where you pinpoint all your energies in a given direction. Or there's getting the enemy off balance somehow, kind of tricking him. Or in fact, using deception is a big one. If you can deceive the enemy, you can create a vulnerability where there wasn't one. Remember the story of the Trojan horse, don't you? Remember how the Greeks got them in the city of Troy, bring in this big horse they didn't know. They thought it was a gift to the city of Troy. And at night, it opened up and all the soldiers came out of the inside of the horse and undid the gates, opened the gates, and let all the rest of the soldiers in. And that's how they traditionally, or supposedly, according to folklore, in fact, won the war. So watch this now. That a soldier must have spiritual military smarts. That's the essence of developing a strategy. How are we going to win this invisible war? Remember the scripture. Wisdom is better than strength. Wisdom is better than the weapons of war. A military strategy and tactics, smart military strategies, that helped conduct the warfare. So let's go to a story and see this in the Bible. So here's Moses. And God wants Moses to help get the whole Israelis out of Egyptian bondage, right? I forget how many millions of them there were. And so God says, Moses, I want you to be the leader. And so here's what Moses said. Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. And I have a slow tongue. Look at this. I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech and I have a slow tongue. How do you expect me to do this, oh God? And he was in shock because God's asking him to do something that is beyond his seeming capability, right? And so Moses used the excuse and said, oh Lord, my God, I am not eloquent. I can't do this. I'm slow of speech. Now watch this. And the Lord said unto him, who made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now watch this. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say. I will give you the military smarts, Moses. You don't have to be an eloquent speaker. Just follow me, because I'll be with your mouth, and I'll teach you what you should say. So Moses, had, I guess, a change of attitude, right? So watch this now. Spiritual military smarts are you ready? It comes from knowing the God factor. Moses, I can't speak. Moses, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be with you. That's the God factor. The God factor makes all the difference. Let me tell you another story. Take a look at this guy. This guy's name is Gideon. And he's just the farmer in the field thrashing wheat. And that's all he's doing. He's just a farmer. And the Lord sends an angel, and the angel says, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee. Can you imagine the shock of this farmer? Look what he says. The angel said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon didn't believe. And so the Lord bypassed the angel now. Watch this. And he says to this farmer, thresher of wheat, look at this. Go. Now watch this. Go in. Look at this. This thy might, and you will save the whole country of Israel. So what do you figure Gideon said to that? And Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Come on, God. Behold, my family is poor, and I am the least in my father's house. You expect me? Now, get the picture. Here's God telling this farmer, calling him a mighty man of valor, telling him to go in his strength when he doesn't think he has any strength. Now watch this, because the Lord said to him, surely I will be with thee. Oh, I will be with thee. That's the God factor. That's where the military smarts have to be known, the God factor. So let's talk about what happened. So here they go. Gideon's enemies were numbered 120,000. Gideon had 32,000. 32,000 against 120,000. My goodness, they're outnumbered like 4 to 1. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. You got too many soldiers. Oh, well, look at this now. And he said, lest Israel should think they're forgetting where the military smarts come from. And that will get them in big trouble later on. So watch this now. Too many soldiers. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying they did it by themselves without military smarts. Look at this now. 32,000 against 120,000. And God says, too many. So what's God saying? He says, Gideon, why don't you go back to the 32,000, and this is what you want to tell them. If any of you are scared, whoever's fearful and afraid, you can go home. And you can depart early. You don't have to do any more service time. You can just leave. Why is this now? And there returned of the people 22,000. And there remained 10,000. Watch here now. So the enemy has 120,000. Gideon has 32,000. And now he sends home 22,000. And all he's got is 10,000 left. Now, if you got 10,000 and you're outnumbered 12 to 1, 120 to 10, right? 1,000. You better have some military smarts, right? But watch what happens. And the Lord said to Gideon, this is still too many people. Still, Gideon, 10,000 is too many. So Gideon, I want you to send the men down to the river to drink. Down to the water, and when they get down there, we're going to watch them, and I'm going to try them, and we're going to figure this out. And 300 lapped with their tongues from their cupped hands, and all the rest knelt to drink. So let me show you what happened. So a lot of the soldiers did this. They drank the way the dogs drink. They got down on their knees, and they licked the water out. And God says, Gideon, if they lap like a dog, send them home. Imagine, 10,000 is too many, even though you're against 120,000. And then he said, if they lap like a dog, send them home. But then I want you to watch the other ones, and the ones who cup the water with their hands and raise it to their mouth, if they lap putting their hand to the mouth, they're your men, Moses. They're the ones you want. That's what your army is going to consist of. And now look at the story. Enemy soldiers numbered 120,000. Gideon soldier had 32, got reduced to 10, and now guess what? God says 300. Now the 300 are going to take on 120,000 enemies. They better have some real military smarts. So what's so smart? What could be this smart? What could be so smart that 300 could knock out 120,000? And the Lord said unto him, here's the smart thing. Surely I will be with thee. Whoa. I will be with thee. That's the military smart that every Christian soldier needs. And the Midianites and the Amalekites, the enemy, all the children of the east, They lay along the valley like grasshoppers for a multitude. That's how many there were, like grasshoppers everywhere. And camels they had without numbers. This is the enemy, right? Against 300. And so God says, this is what you want to tell them. And you tell this to your soldiers. You break the 300. You break the 300 down into three 100 groups. And you place them in three different places. And you give every one of them a trumpet and a lantern that's not lit. And you give them this instruction. And so here we now we've got Gideon with 300 against 120,000. And this is what he says to his men. When I blow with a trumpet and all that are with me, the 100 that are with me, then you blow the trumpets also on every side of the camp. And look at this. And you say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Blow the trumpet. And when you hear the trumpets, you all blow at the same time. And you shout. Look at this now. They're on every side of the camp. You blow the trumpet and you shout and you say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Doesn't seem very smart, does it? 300 with 120,000 camp down there, all the camels, horses, everything. And what happened? And the 300 blew with the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow throughout the whole host. They all started killing themselves. Ha! That's the military smart. What is the military smart? It's the God factor. 300 against 120,000. But you got God telling you what to do, how to do it, and it can be done. It is doable. And the 120,000 are destroyed. One more story. You probably know that a garrison is a fortress where usually 500 troops are stationed, right? And so they usually outside of a big city or whatever. And a garrison is that kind of a place where the troops are housed for emergency reasons, of course. And now there's this boy, Jonathan, son of Saul, right? And he's got a young man with him who is called an armor bearer. He carries some of the armor, right? And look what he says. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over to the garrison of those uncircumcised. And he's making fun of them. And watch what he says now. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Maybe there will be a God factor. Two guys, Jonathan and his armor bearer. Because there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Doesn't matter about the numbers. The numbers don't count. And that first slaughter, they only killed 20. They killed about 20 men within, as it were, a half an acre of land, right? They killed 20. And behold, the rest of them melted away, and they went on beating down one another. Oh, my goodness sakes. So two guys said, so there's 500 garrison there. Let's go. They killed 20 of them, and the rest of them, for whatever reason, because of the God factor, they started killing themselves. Now you might say, well, what has that got to do? Those are nice stories out of the Bible, Preacher David, but what's that got to do with me being a soldier of Jesus Christ? So I want you to be shocked at this next scripture. Because here's what Jesus said to you. I'm going to send you forth as a sheep in the midst of wolves. Uh-oh. Now that's soldiership. I want you to be like a sheep in the midst of wolves. So watch the God factor and the wisdom now. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I don't want you to hurt anybody, but I want you to be really smart. Watch now. Translation, stay alert. This is hazardous work I'm assigning you. You're going to be like sheep running through a wolf pack. So don't call attention to yourselves. Be as cunning as a snake and inoffensive as a dove. Don't be naive. Some people will impugn your motives. Others will smear your reputation just because you believe in me, Jesus is saying. Don't be upset when they haul you before civil authorities. Without knowing it, they've really done you and me a big favor, giving you a platform for preaching the kingdom news. And don't worry about what you'll say. Oh, here's the God factor. Don't worry about your say or how you'll say it. The right words will be there. The Spirit of your Father will supply the words. See the God factor? You can't just count on your own limitations. You don't need to, because of the God factor. When people realize it is the living God you are presenting and not some idol that makes them feel good. A feel-good Christianity goes a long way today, but the ones who realize that that's not what you're doing, they are going to turn on you. Even people in your own family. There is a great irony here. You're going to be proclaiming so much love, but experiencing so much hate. But don't quit. Don't cave in. It is all worth it in the end. It is not success you're after in such times as this, but survival. Be survivors. Before you run out of options, the Son of Man will have arrived. Everything will be okay. I want you to see a couple more scriptures because I want you to grasp this, that if you're going to be a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ, remember it's an invisible warfare. We're not after people. We're after the forces behind the people that make the people do wrong, hate, do violence, disfigurement. Now, how are we going to do this? We're going to do it because of the God factor. Remember Jonathan said, is God able to save by few or by many? Don't look at the numbers right now. It looks like the whole world's crazy. Look, the whole government's crazy. It looks like everybody's crazy. Don't look at the numbers. Look at the God factor. Soldier, obey commandments. Because here's what the scripture says. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency, sufficiency in all things, you may abound unto every good work. I mean, everything you need will be given you. Now, I still can't let this go. So Because of all the things we'll teach on this, this is a crucial one. In God's army, you need God. God's work must be done God's way. The fighting must be done God's way with God's help. That's the God factor. So comes now the scripture and asks you a couple of questions. You see your calling, brethren. How not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. Look at this, three groups here. There's not many really smart people. There's not many muscle-bound people, mighty, and not many of nobility that are called. Look at this. But God hath chosen the things, the foolish. Now watch this. God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. Oh, how can the foolish confound the wise? Because of the God factor. Watch this now. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Do not pin your soldiership on your personal talent or ability. You've been given some of that, and we'll cover that the next time we get together, your embedded natural ability. You got it. But it's not about personal smart or strength or nobility that counts, or money. For God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. Look at this. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confuse the things which are mighty. My goodness. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised hath God chosen. So let me ask you a question. Are you foolish? Are you weak? Are you despised? Are you base? You're qualified. God takes you. Sign up. All you need is the God factor. Look at this now. He doesn't just take the big things, the base things, and the things that are despised. He doesn't just choose the nothings and the nobodies. But what? He wants to take the things which are not, the nobodies, to bring to nothing the things that are. Now, there's a reason behind this, and here it is, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God. Now, watch this. Watch this. Because with the God factor, he makes unto you, he makes you wisdom, able to do the right thing, righteousness. And he separates you from everybody else. And redemption, everything you need, he's going to supply. Look at this now. That according to as it is written, him that glorieth not, watch this now, let him not glory, but let him glory in the Lord. Now, notice this says, according to as it's written. It's actually in the book of Isaiah, and here's what it says. Thus saith the Lord, in the book of Isaiah, watch it now. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't let the mighty man glory in his might, neither let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me. You're head and shoulders away of everybody, ahead of everybody, when you understand and you know God. That I am the Lord, which exercise, and this is what he's about, loving kindness, proper adjudication, judgment, and doing what's right in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So, military smarts fundamentally come down to one thing, the God factor. Let me ask you, do you have the God factor working in your life? You trying to do everything by yourself on your own wisdom? You trying to do what everybody else tells you to do? You see, God comes to give you leadership. Really smart leadership. Mm-hmm. Doesn't the scripture say that? As many as are led by the Spirit. Oh, leadership. And you get wisdom, you get smarts, but they are superior to every other kind of smart you could think of. And not only that, but you get strength. You get empowerment. Watch this. This is a great testimony. God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Now watch this. And God says, "Because my strength is made perfect in weakness." Ugh. So Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in the Lord." No, glory in the infirmities. Why? Because then the power of Christ will rest upon me. And I take pleasure in infirmities. Huh, really? Do you do that? Not likely. He did. Why? Because God's a great compensator. Whatever you're missing, he makes it up. So it's okay if I lack something because understand, my efficiency is only deficiency unless I have his sufficiency. That's how it works. And so Paul said, "I take pleasure in infirmities." Not just infirmities, but in reproaches. People make fun of me, mock me. In necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. And I do this for Christ's sake. Now watch this, because this is the big sentence here. "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Military smarts means having the God factor. There's one more scripture I should take a look at. What shall we say to these things? All the stuff that's going on. Here it is. If God be for us, who can be against us? Aha! We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God be for me, who can be against me? And so this passage goes on and it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." But nope. "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Here's the question. Have you counted on the God factor? Because that's what's militarily smart in this army. The God factor. After the years, and there have been many that I've lived with the Lord, I've asked myself a number of times, how could I have ever made it without God? And my friend, what I want you to know is that you don't have to make it without God. In fact, you probably won't. but with God. The God factor makes every difference in your life, in your marriage, your family, your mission, your business. It's the God factor. To be a soldier, to be a soldier means having spiritual military smarts. And they come from a personal relationship with God. Go with God. He will surely go with you. And don't forget to come back again, because we're going to keep on going on the same subject and we'll have part four next. But what's really important more than anything else right now, make sure you get to a quiet place and bring him into your life. He makes all the difference you will ever need.
When you know why you were born, you'll have a new appreciation for your true self. You will know your true purpose in life, and you'll know why you matter. Then you'll be equipped to choose a life path full of meaning and joy. Uncover the truth about you. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will give you a new appreciation for your true self. Mark Twain said, "There are two important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you find out why." And David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will launch you on your true path. Take action now and visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Live a fulfilling life now without pressures to conform to the ideas and expectations of others. Live the fulfilling life you were created to live and enjoy the freedom, comfort, and confidence that can bring. Become the real you and discover your ENA, your embedded natural abilities. Break free from the prison of your past and experience the joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment you were created for. Act now. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born and order your copy of this amazing new book. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will fill you with new expectation for your best life, the life you were created to live.